The wood grain on the desk is walnut, polished to a mirror shine that reflects the condensation ring from a glass of tepid lemon water. The air in the office carries the scent of expensive eucalyptus and the low, consistent hum of a high-end air purifier. A digital recorder sits between us, its small red light, a steady, unblinking eye. Outside the floor-to-ceiling window, the city is a silent grid of gray and glass, muffled by the triple-pane insulation of the penthouse suite. Elena's hands are folded on the blotter, her manicured nails a soft, translucent pink that matches the silk of her blouse. The clock on the wall doesn't tick. The second hand sweeps in a fluid, predatory circle. I look at the water. I look at the recorder. I look at the way the light catches the fine blonde hairs on Elena's forearm as she reaches out to slide a heavy linen folder toward me. The paper is thick, cream-colored, and embossed with the logo of the Ascent Collective. It is the only thing moving in the room. We call it the unburdening. It was the centerpiece of the six-month intensive, the moment where the limbic blockages are finally dissolved through radical honesty. To get to the light, Elena said, you have to crawl through the cellar of your own soul. And I crawled. I stripped. I gave her every jagged piece of my divorce, every shameful thought I'd had about my son's developmental delays, every time I'd reached for a bottle of gin at 3 in the afternoon because the silence in the house was screaming. She recorded it all, for clinical review, she told me, so I could watch my own breakthrough and see the moment the mask slipped. But today, the air in the suite feels different. The eucalyptus is cloying like funeral flowers. The linen folder contains an invoice for the mastery tier transition, a sum that equals exactly half of my remaining settlement. It is a number that would mean selling the condo. It is a number that makes no sense for a woman who has already paid $80,000 for spiritual alignment. I should be angry. I should be standing up and demanding to know why a life coach is charging the same as a neurosurgeon. But Elena is smiling, that soft, practiced curve of the lips that used to feel like a warm blanket and now feels like a silk cord tightening around my throat. She doesn't mention the money first. She mentions the videos. It's about the integration of the shadow, she says. Her voice is a melodic alto, the kind of voice that makes you feel like a child being tucked in. She tells me that the progress I've made is fragile, that the world out there, the world of my ex-husband's lawyers and the school board and my judgmental mother, wouldn't understand the raw transformative work we've done in this room. They would see a woman unraveling. They would see the footage of me weeping about the resentment I feel for my child. And they would call it evidence, not evolution. I tell myself she's protecting me. That's the first layer of the rationalization. She's simply pointing out the risks of the unintegrated self re-entering the public sphere. She isn't threatening me. She's highlighting the sanctuary she has provided. If I leave now, if I refuse the mastery tier, I am essentially stepping out of the circle of her protection. And outside that circle, those recordings are just data, files, potential leaks in a digital age. I look at the invoice. The zeros seem to vibrate on the page. I try to find the words to tell her I'm done. I practiced this in the car. I told myself that the law protects people from this kind of thing. But Elena is already talking about the next session. She's talking about how the mastery tier involves the vault, a deeper level of confidentiality where the recordings are finally encrypted and eventually destroyed once the ego death is complete. It's a beautiful exit. All I have to do is sign the paper and the videos stay in the vault. If I sign, I am a dedicated student of the ascent. If I don't, I am a liability, a woman who spent $100,000 to record herself admitting to things that could lose her a custody battle. I think about the police. I imagine walking into a precinct and trying to explain this. I can see the officer's face as I describe paying for spiritual coaching and then being afraid of my own confessions. They would ask to see the videos. They would have to see them. And then the thing I am trying to hide would be in the hands of a stranger with a badge. The cost of justice is the very exposure I'm paying to avoid. The logic is a perfect loop. Elena stands up and walks to the window. She looks out at the city like she owns the weather. She tells me she believes in me, She says she's never seen a spirit as resilient as mine, which is why she's so concerned about me backsliding into the legalistic, transactional mindset of my old life. The invoice isn't a bill, she explains. It's an energetic commitment. It's the price of the person I am becoming. I remember the way I felt 3 months ago, sitting on the velvet floor cushions, feeling like she was the only person who truly saw me. I gave her the keys to the house because I wanted her to see everything. Now I realize she wasn't looking for the light. She was mapping the structural weaknesses. I pick up the pen. It's a heavy fountain pen with a gold nib. It feels like a weapon or a surgical tool. One more year, I tell myself. One more year, and I'll be integrated. The videos will be gone. I'll have reached the mastery tier. And this will all just be a difficult chapter in my memoir of self-actualization. I can afford the condo for one more year if I'm careful. I'll just stop the landscaping service. I'll tell my mother I'm investing in a private equity firm. The lie is so easy to tell, because I've been telling it to myself since the first session. I look at the red light on the recorder. Is it on? Is she recording this moment of hesitation? My hand is shaking just enough to make the nib of the pen scratch against the linen paper. It sounds like a tiny animal trapped in the wall. Elena turns around. She doesn't come back to the desk. She stays by the window, silhouetted by the afternoon sun, a goddess of self-help. She tells me she's already scheduled the first mastery retreat in Sedona. She's booked the private villa. She's already invested so much in me, she says. It would be a tragedy to let it all go to waste over something as dense and vibrationally low as a bank balance. She uses my son's name. She says she wants him to have a mother who is fully realized, not a mother who is living in fear of her own past. That's the hook. That's the sharp, cold metal sliding under my ribs. She isn't blackmailing me. She's investing in my son's future by ensuring his mother isn't destroyed by her own honesty. It's a gift, really. A very expensive mandatory gift. I sign the document. The ink is dark and wet. It looks like a bruise on the cream-colored page. Elena comes back to the desk and picks up the folder. She doesn't check the signature. She knows it's there. She clicks off the digital recorder. The red light dies. The room feels suddenly terrifyingly quiet. She leans over and kisses my cheek. She smells like eucalyptus and success. She tells me I've made the right choice. She tells me I'm safe now. I walk out of the office and into the hallway. The elevator is waiting. The doors are brushed steel, cool to the touch. As I descend, the pressure in my ears changes. I look at my reflection in the metal. I look like the woman I was an hour ago. I look like a woman who has everything under control. But in my head, I am replaying the video from 6 weeks ago, the one where I'm sitting on the floor, snot running down my face, admitting that sometimes I wish I'd never married, never moved here, never had a child. I can see the way my eyes look in that recording, hollow and desperate. I realize then that the mastery tier won't be the end. There will be a diamond tier. There will be a legacy circle. As long as those files exist, there will always be another level of integration to pay for. I reach the lobby and step out into the street. The air is cold and smells of exhaust. I start walking toward my car, but I stop at the corner. I look back up at the penthouse. I could go back. I could demand the memory cards. I could scream. But then I think about the sound of my own voice on those tapes. The things I said about the people I love. The things I said about myself. I turn the corner and keep walking. I need to call the realtor. I need to tell her the condo is going on the market. I'll tell her I'm looking for something more aligned with my new lifestyle, something smaller, something more spiritual. I find myself smiling as I reach my car. It's a small, tight smile that doesn't reach my eyes. It's the smile of a woman who is finally, truly unburdened. After all, what is a house compared to the peace of mind that comes from knowing your secrets are in a vault? I get into the driver's seat and check my phone. There's already a notification from the Ascent Collective app. Welcome to Mastery, Sarah. Your journey begins now. I put the car in gear and pull out into traffic. The city is a blur of gray and glass. I am a student. I am a success story. I am a woman who is paying a premium for the silence of her own soul. And as long as I keep paying, the red light stays off. I just have to make sure I never run out of things to lose. I drive past the park where my son is playing with his nanny. I don't stop. I have to get home and start packing. Elena said the Sedona retreat starts on the 15th. I need to find my hiking boots. I need to find my strength. Most of all, I need to make sure I don't cry when I tell the realtor the price. Because if I cry, it means I haven't integrated the loss. And if I haven't integrated the loss, I'm not ready for the next level. And I have to be ready. There's no other way out. The sun is setting now, casting long, distorted shadows across the pavement. They look like figures reaching for the wheels of the car. I turn up the radio. A soft ambient track Elena recommended for vibrational maintenance. It fills the cabin, drowning out the sound of the wind and the persistent, nagging thrum of my own heart. I am fine. I am safe. I am in the vault. I pull into my driveway and look at the for sale sign I haven't even bought yet. I can see it clearly in my mind, standing on the lawn like a tombstone. It's okay. It's just property. It's just money. Everything is a trade. I walk into the house, and the silence greets me like an old friend who knows too much. I go to the kitchen and pour a glass of water. I add a slice of lemon. I sit at the table and look at the wood grain. It isn't walnut, it's oak. It isn't polished, it's scratched. I realize I've forgotten what my own furniture looks like. I've spent so much time in Elena's office that her environment has become my baseline for reality. I pick up the lemon water and take a sip. I wonder if she's watching the video right now. I wonder if she's pausing it at the moment I signed the paper, studying the micro expressions of my surrender. I hope she is. I hope she sees how committed I am. Because if she sees that, she'll know I'm a good student. And good students are the only ones who get to keep their lives. I finish the water and set the glass down. It leaves a wet ring on the oak. I don't wipe it away. I just watch it soak into the wood, a dark permanent mark that wasn't there before. I have a lot of packing to do. I walk up the stairs, my feet heavy on the carpet. Each step feels like a calculation. Each breath feels like an expense. I reach the top and look into my son's room. He's asleep, his small hand tucked under his chin. He looks so peaceful. He has no idea that his mother is a collection of files in a penthouse suite. He has no idea that his home is the currency of his safety. I close his door quietly. I go to my room and open the closet. I start pulling clothes off the hangers. I don't look at them. I just pile them on the bed. I am moving toward the light. Elena said so. And the light is very, very bright. So bright it burns everything it touches. I keep packing. I don't stop until the moon is high in the sky and the house is full of boxes. I am a master now. I can feel it. The fear is still there, tucked away in the cellar, but it's been integrated. It's part of the architecture. I lay down on the bed next to the piles of clothes and close my eyes. In the dark, I can still see the red light of the recorder. It's the last thing I see before I fall asleep. The unblinking eye, the witness, the owner.